This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The first formal groundbreaking at the banks on the Cincinnati Riverfront was in April 2008. And just 6 years later, Phase 1 of the project is complete, and construction for Phase 2 got underway recently, which will add more apartments and retail space between Paul Brown Stadium and the Freedom Center. And here to give us an update are project executive for the banks, Phil Beck, and Tom Gableman, member of the law firm Frost Brown Todd. He's served as legal counsel on the bank's project since its inception. And if you'd like to join the conversation, the phone number to call is 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Tom, I remember a time, it doesn't seem so long ago, when there was a lot of talk about the banks, but it didn't seem to be going anywhere. And now all of a sudden, it's a reality, and more development is on its way. What do you think was the turning point for the project?
I think the real turning point came back in 2007 when the city and the county came together and they formed the Joint City-County Banks Working Group. And Bob Castellini was the chair of that working group. And a result of that effort that involved both public and private participation, we were able to come up with and execute upon a development plan that had really started back in 1999 by the city and the county. And that really provided the impetus to go out and get a national developer and bring them to Cincinnati and begin to develop the project.
So the banks is happening because of a public-private partnership. So that was a key element in this whole thing.
Absolutely. And actually, Mark, this is one of the largest public-private partnerships in the country right now. When you look at this redevelopment effort, it's about $2.5 billion. And it's gone from really a planning concept stage to design and implementation in 14 short years. And it very much is a joint effort between the city of Cincinnati and Hamilton County. They have been working together to first develop that plan and then kind of set the parameters for how that plan gets implemented. And it's really the city and the county that govern the relationship with the private developer as far as how everything gets executed, the timing, the delivery requirements, the scope of the project, all the different uses and so on, are really governed by that relationship between the city, county, and the master developer.
Phil, do you think this serves as a model for similar projects across the country?
Well, it's this project is particularly unique to Cincinnati in many ways. As Tom said, 14 years this really kicked off. Think about what our riverfront was before that period. We had a sprawling interstate that bisected the central business district from the riverfront. We had an aging dual sport stadium. We had lack of utility infrastructure, lack of public parking, warehouses, and surface parking, all in a floodplain. So that's where this project started. And through the leadership of the city and the county and the business districts and support from state and federal, we first of all succeeded with Fort Washington Way, and that not only created the first step in developing the riverfront, but also we gained real estate to work with. And from there, Paul Brown Stadium, Great American Ballpark, the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center, Smale Riverfront Park, and the Banks Project, it's all coming into play. The beauty of the Banks Project in Cincinnati, as I mentioned, originally it's in a floodplain. We're right on the doorstep of the river, and the river is very unpredictable, as we all know. But by creating a two-level parking garage, essentially between the ballpark and Paul Brown Stadium, we take away the issue of lack of parking, number one, and number two, we don't want the garage to flood, but it's designed, should it flood, it's designed to be cleaned out very easily, and it puts all the private development above the 500-year floodplain, truly unique to Cincinnati.
So it's a good use for that piece of land.
It's excellent, yes.
Yeah, if you think about it, Mark, to take off on Phil's comment, in really 200 years, nearly two centuries, Cincinnati was not able to really sustain development on the riverfront. I mean, you did have some in the early days of late 1700s, 1800s, you did have some residences down there and some businesses. In the most recent history, it was really became basically for produce houses and so on, warehouses, but very underutilized. And if you look at in 200 years, what was not accomplished, and in 14 years, we've gone from planning to implementation with now what is truly a sustainable development for centuries to come. And that's what's happened in 14 years.
How crucial is the banks to the growth of Cincinnati?
Well, I think it's kind of interesting. If you look at Cincinnati and where we were just 10 short years ago and the population downtown, which was around 6,000 residents, and you look at the residential units and the vacancies and the offices and the lack of retail and so on, and all of that has changed. Residents have doubled downtown in 10 years. If you look at how Cincinnati and the county, Hamilton County, have invested in themselves, invested in Fountain Square, the city's investment in Fountain Square and over the Rhine, and now what is called the front yard to the city, or really the gateway to southwestern Ohio, that is the gateway, to say we're going to transform the Fort Washington Way, as Phil had alluded to put stadiums as bookends to the riverfront, to take nearly 200 acres of land and basically transform it. It puts a completely new face on the city, a new face on the city. Now we look at it and say we can compete with the East Coast, West Coast, those southeastern centers that have had so much growth over the last decade. We're now competing with them, and that's a huge difference. And it's a place I think all of us would like with families to have our kids, come back to our city. And now we've created a city that welcomes them back, an environment in which they really want to, as they often say, live, work, and play. Mm-hmm. It really has been a transformative process, really, for the banks as well as, downtown and over the Rhine.
And I can't emphasize the collaboration between the city and the county enough to make this happen. If the city and county did not work closely together, this project could not take off, and the private development is dependent upon this public infrastructure. It's the public infrastructure that has spawned the banks project. We need the, as I mentioned, the utilities down below. We built the garage. We built the street grid, which is essentially on top of the garage, and created these public amenities for the private infrastructure on top to succeed.
513-419-7100. If you'd like to join our conversation, you can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And where does the project stand at this point, Phil, in terms of office space, retail space, residential space, restaurants so far?
The project team breaks a project down in what we refer to as phases. I'll just explain briefly, should listeners be interested in questioning about it. Phase one is what is essentially already open, more or less between the Freedom Center and Great American Ballpark, from 2nd Street to Tedbury Way. That area is phase one. We've heard a lot about how successful the apartments are. There's 300 apartments there. There's a waiting list to get into those apartments.
So they're fully occupied then?
Yes. I think there's 60, 80 people on the waiting list. There are the retail businesses at street level that have been very successful. There is an office pad that is ready to be developed and a hotel pad that is ready to be developed. Phase two is what the developer just started on about 3 weeks ago. They just had their groundbreaking celebration last week. That is starting with a 9-story apartment building, and there will be a pad on the eastern part of this block. It's just west of the Freedom Center. That could be office, could be hotel. But this 9-story apartment building will be ready for occupancy in approximately 2 years.
And current at the banks, that's the residential apartment building right now, correct?
That is correct.
Fully occupied. And do you know who's running the apartments? Do you have any idea of that? Is it mainly young professionals, or is it a mix of young and retirees?
It's a very interesting mix. You do have the young professionals. you have the empty nesters, and you have people in between. It's very eclectic. People come down to the Banks projects for a variety of reasons, and they love the excitement. I think that's the common thread, and they want to be a part of the excitement downtown.
Now, Tom, the next phase is going to have, about 270, is it, new apartments? Is that correct?
291 apartments. 291. And it'll have another 20,000 square feet of retail. And there will also be an office pad that will be built as part of that development between the Freedom Center and Paul Brown Stadium that will be ideally situated for a Fortune 10 company that might be interested in coming to Southwest Ohio.
What are the new apartments going to be like? What are the specifications on those?
Again, they're going to be kind of the luxury, you know, high-end apartments. The design of there will be a combination of one and two bedroom apartments. A number of them will have views of the Cincinnati skyline, as well as balconies that overlook Paul Brown Stadium and the Ohio River. And in those apartments are really joining the apartments in downtown, which are at a 96% occupancy, which is, you know, fairly remarkable. There's definitely a demand for it, and it really speaks well of the city when you see that kind of investment, reinvestment in the city.
Now, what role is are Cincinnati Parks playing in this whole development? It's, 40 acres set aside for green space?
45 acres, and it's a very critical role, and the parks has been very much a part of the process from the very beginning in terms of looking at that riverfront and saying it's just not a matter of having green space, but what that green space will be and how active that green space is. And all you have to do is go down on any evening, you know, down to the park, to the interactive fountains at Walnut Street or Main Street, and you see the number of kids that are there. You know, it used to be we had people that would come downtown, go to Synergy Field, and would go home. Now we have folks that will come to the games, come to the park, and they stay. And you're bringing families back. You're bringing millennials back. And what you see, I guess the big point that Phil, what I would like to talk about is what you see down there now is only one third of what will be in terms of the banks and in terms of the park, both of which are on a very aggressive timeline in terms of getting what will be about $2.5 billion worth of development. And when you look at the park today and you look at the foot of the Roebling Bridge and you see the curtain wall of fountains and you see the Walnut Street fountains, and then you'll know a year from now you'll have the Vine Street fountains that are replicated on the west side of that bridge. You'll have the carousel. Carol Ann's Carousel will be on the west side of that bridge. And you'll have a park to the south of Maring to the river that has, again, not been used at all, that will include an adventure playground and playscape, and we'll have the Castellini Esplanade. Well, you'll be able to bring you know, marketers down to actually sell produce again down on the riverfront. So it's a really exciting and a fascinating place to be.
You know, when there are ball games going on, the Banks is a bustling place to be near, to be around. And do you see activity picking up during the weekdays as well when there's not a whole lot going on around the Banks?
It is picking up, and it's part of that live, work, play concept that Tom mentioned earlier that is really the premise of this entire project. So we're doing pretty good with the living part. We're doing really well with the play part, and it's the working part that we are working hard to improve upon.
And now Phil's comment on that is really driven to, you know, the anticipated uses were both residential and retail, and to have a hotel as well as office. And we're driving real hard to have kind of office buildings on either side of the Freedom Center, because that really kind of that activates then the riverfront throughout the day and at night. To have anywhere from 2,000 to 3,000 office workers that would be down the riverfront as well. And that's all part of the process that we're going through.
And Tom, I understand that part of the hope in building the additional office space in the next phase is that you'll be able to attract GE's new Southwest Ohio Global Operations Center.
That is right. And that is something that, if you look at, and what we look at on the public side is return on investment. And so in the first phase, when the city and the county came together and put $75 million in the public infrastructure, the private sector came in and invested $95 million in that capital. So it's almost a one-to-one return on the investment. And on the operating side, that brings in now $91 million a year to the city and the county that didn't exist before. So the return on investment is phenomenal there. When you look at the potential of having a GE global hub located there. And the fact that GE has said they have now limited their selection to Southwest Ohio and to greater Cincinnati, it speaks really well for the city and how far we have come in terms of being able to attract someone like a Fortune 10 company to locate their North American hub here. And, of course, we think the Banks is absolutely ideally situated given the park, given the transportation linkages, given the availability of parking, given all the activities with both stadiums. We think it's really ideally situated.
Now, Phil, you were talking about how the public side of this is responsible for infrastructure development. So we've had all of this infrastructure development going on during the first phase. What are some of the infrastructure projects coming during the second phase?
We have been working the last year or so on many elements that pertain to pedestrian access. For example, there's a new pedestrian bridge that is adjacent to U.S. Bank Arena. That has been, we put that into work this past November for the cyclone season. And it continues to be very well used through the Reds season. On the Roebling Suspension Bridge, the blue bridge that goes over to Kentucky, there was a sidewalk on the east side of that bridge that sort of abruptly stopped. And we continued that sidewalk and actually built a stair that will go down to the Smale Riverfront Park once that adventure play section is open later this year. And the north end of that bridge, we installed a roundabout for traffic so that if you're coming south through Cincinnati and you get to the bridge, used to be where you couldn't turn around. You committed to going across that bridge, but now you actually have the option to circle back and stay in Ohio. And we are currently working on widening the sidewalk on the north side of 2nd Street, adjacent Fort Washington Way, to work a little better with pedestrian needs during large events down on the riverfront.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. Let's talk with Charlie in Mount Washington. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Hi, good afternoon.
What's your question?
We were wondering how the new streetcar is going to be integrated into phase two of the Banks.
That's a great question. Thank you, Charlie, for calling. The streetcar essentially is a figure eight alignment starting up near Findlay Market, and the southern point of the streetcar is at 2nd Street. The streetcar will actually head south on Walnut. It will turn east on 2nd Street. There'll be a brand new streetcar stop for the Banks project right in front of the businesses right there on 2nd Street. It will then turn north on Main Street and continue on up to Central Parkway.
You're thinking right along Toby Keith and where Crave is currently located.
Yes.
Charlie, thank you very much for the question. We appreciate it. 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. If you happen to live at the Banks, call up and give us your thoughts about it. Or if you'd visited the Banks, what are your thoughts about it? Jim from Hyde Park sent us a question, and he was curious, are they using Lake Michigan and Chicago as a model?
Well, I think in part, certainly in terms of a model, you look at Millennium Park in Chicago. That is something that the Park Board definitely looked at in looking at the type of features that would be attractive to families and to other folks, as well as looking at other parks throughout the world. We've looked at a number of riverfront and waterfront-related developments in developing the overall plan that it was eventually utilized here. But clearly, there was a need to do something that was unique to Cincinnati, and that is what has really happened here. And there is a certain degree of public investment that was necessary in order to make that happen. And I think probably the greatest thing that you'll see when you look at that riverfront today and the way that it looked really since 1970 with the sea of blacktop, with a stadium sitting in the middle, think of it 5 to 10 years from now, probably 5 to 8 years really, that sea of blacktop will be gone. and it will be replaced with either a park or a neighborhood with offices, with residences, with retail shops. That is probably the most significant change that you'll see between really the Brent Spence Bridge on the west all the way to the east to the Taylor Southgate Bridge.
I think Jim also wondered, too, if there's ever the possibility of a Ferris wheel going in on the banks.
Well, that's an interesting idea. I haven't heard that one. The carousel was a great plus, obviously.
Yes. Yes. I know that there were early studies of a carousel being built after we put the roof on Fort Washington Way. There's four blocks that are designed to receive a roof, and that roof could later either have a park on top or a small building on top. And some of the early studies did show a Ferris wheel on that park section.
You know, Herb from Taylor Park was also wondering if there were any idea when the work is going to get underway on covering Fort Washington Way.
It is in the back of our minds, but it is not currently funded.
Yeah, it was something that was part of the overall plan back in 1999 to really establish that the reconnection of downtown to its riverfront and Cincinnati to its heritage. The cost of that to put the caps over Fort Washington Way is probably in the neighborhood of $80 to $90 million. In terms of priority, the city and the county have continued to look at, we've got to develop everything south of 2nd Street that will enable future investment and to build out really those six city blocks. I mean, what we're looking at is developing six city blocks, two of which have been done already in phase one, as Phil talked about. The next city block is on block two, west of the Freedom Center. And then from there, we're going to go south and develop another two levels of parking to build yet another two city blocks of development. It's definitely in the plan. We all know that would really further connect downtown to the river and really help with that integration overall. But the funding priorities have said we've got to focus here first and continue to pursue that as an alternative.
Phil, for someone who has yet to go down to the banks, how would they find the parking down there, and what would they find as far as entertainment, things to do down there?
You would want to get to 2nd Street from whichever direction you're coming. And from 2nd Street, there are entrances to the garage, or you continue down closer to the river off Maring Way. There are three entrances into the garage from there. And as I say, there once you enter in to the garage structure, there's ample parking. You'll come up and I think people have really been enjoying the riverfront park. They've enjoyed, as Tom alluded to, you know, going to a game and staying afterwards, not getting back in your car and leaving. We have some different musical events that are scheduled on the riverfront this summer. Of course, we know about the Red Season. The Bearcats are actually playing at Paul Brown Stadium this fall, while their stadium is being worked on. And, of course, Bengals season is right around the corner. So there's a lot of things to do in big events, but even just coming down and enjoying a nice dinner or walking through the Freedom Center and enjoying the excellent exhibits that are in that museum, there's a whole lot of things to do. And getting back to Millennial Park, I know for a fact one thing that Parks was inspired by at Millennial Park was the bike rental center. And they use that as an idea that has actually been implemented into phase one of the Banks project. There is a bike rental center that is right next to the Walnut Street stairs and fountains. And they not only rent normal bicycles, but they have essentially bicycle taxis and different versions of bikes that an entire family can get on and ride up and down the riverfront. It's quite pleasant.
Yeah, that sounds really neat. Very good. Well, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
We appreciate it.
Project executive for the banks, Phil Beck, and Tom Gabelman, member of the law firm Frost Brown Todd, who serves as legal counsel on the banks project.